Many sit-down independent restaurants are now charging cancellation fees. And boy, here in Boston, one canceled reservation blew up on social media when the diner posted that he canceled because he was hospitalized and was still charged $125 per person. Well, that post got 24 million views. The owner of the restaurant tracked him down and berated him. He posted that too. Talk about a food fight. Let's talk about restaurants, starting with reservations. Lily Jan is an industry watcher and a lecturer on food and beverage management at the Hotel School at Cornell University. Lily, you say it used to be that large parties might have to give a deposit. How did that evolve into fees?
When you ask for a restaurant to hold a table for a large party, you're asking for a larger commitment of their time that they would be able to service other customers at that time. So it makes sense that they would want to hold a deposit that you would be credited when you pay your bill. But, you know, the pandemic kind of showed a lot of restaurateurs that it is a really tough business out there. Margins are increasingly tight, especially with food prices going up. So they need some kind of guarantee that if you're coming and you say you're going to come, that you really do come because they've committed that table to you in good faith.
Well, first of all, in this case of this restaurant, which we're not mentioning so that we can maybe stop this social media piling on, but it's very clear on Resy, the reservation service, it comes up and explains the cancellation policy. And the diner who, you know, had to cancel knew that. And in fact, he used his travel insurance to cover that $250 fee because he was traveling from New York to Boston when he was hospitalized. But as Deborah First, who's the food writer here in the Boston area, she wrote in the Boston Globe, for that small restaurant, two cancellations is a reduction of 3% in that night, and their margins are just 3 to 5%.
They can be really tough. I've certainly been in the receiving end of both the fees and a forgiven fee. So I've made reservations myself, and one time I was charged because I couldn't make it, and I totally understood that. And I knew that going into it, there was a possibility that I would be charged. There was another time that I wasn't able to make it, and I called and I explained the situation. It was a medical issue, and they waived the fee. Now, in full transparency, I've actually been back to both of those restaurants because I completely understood, and I'll say that the reservation that was charged to me is a much smaller restaurant. It really just depends, I think, on what those margins are and what they can do with that table if you don't come.
There's some wiggle room there. But Deborah First, again, writing in the Boston Globe, is suggesting maybe it's time for special meals, eating out, for that to be a ticketed event. You wouldn't call a baseball game and say, hey, I can't come, can I have my money back? You know that you were going to lose if you didn't go or try to give, you'd have to give it to somebody else.
Absolutely. And I think that there is something to that because especially if you are going to a place that only has so many tables, for you to just suddenly not show can really hugely impact their service for the night, whether or not those servers are actually receiving enough in terms of tips. Like, it can really impact places. There's an unspoken contract between restaurants and customers in that, you know, restaurants provide a wonderful dining experience, great food, safe conditions, wonderful ambiance, and the guest pays for that in exchange. And so there needs to be an understanding of when you don't come and appreciate what we're doing, that's your choice. But at the same time, it does come at a cost to the industry.
Yeah. Well, plus, it is so hard to get reservations, it feels like now. You know, you're denying somebody else a dining experience. If you don't show.
Absolutely. I mean, there are bots now that will scrub many of these reservation platforms to secure all of the best reservations, and then they trade them on a separate website. Now, yeah. I know that some of the reservation platforms are trying to combat that, but it really does make it hard for diners to just go out and eat sometimes.
Dr. Lily Jan, she is a lecturer on food and beverage management at the Hotel School of Cornell University. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So one of the takeaways here, it's hard to get reservations. The National Restaurant Association is forecasting a record $1.1 trillion in sales this year. People, that's over $3 billion a day. Then why did top Boston chef Will Gilson post this on Instagram recently? I'm tired. Maybe I'm exasperated from trying a million things to reach today's diners. As a restaurant owner, sometimes we spin our wheels trying to find ways to be the best version of ourselves, only to find that it's not what people want. So what are your gripes? What can we do better? And boy, did he get an earful, not just from diners, but from fellow chefs. Chef owner Will Gilson runs Cambridge Street Hospitality. It includes the restaurants Cafe Beatrice, Geppetto, and Puritan & Company here in the Boston area. And he is here in the studio with us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So you heard from fellow chef Tiffany Faison, who said, I feel you. You heard from diners who complained about impersonal greeters. Were you surprised at the huge response?
You know, I think one of the things that's been humbling about this post is that the reason that I did the post is because I woke up one day and I just felt like there was this palpable anxiety among our guests. You know, the restaurants are doing fine, but it seems harder to make people happy.
In fact, if I can, you've said I can. This all started with your therapist.
A lot of my success is credit to him as well. But one of the good things that sort of comes up from therapy is that you have to then think about how to ask yourself hard questions. And sometimes you have to ask the people in your lives these hard questions as well. And I think from asking a simple question of what are you unhappy about when dining out and what can we be better at doing turned into a group therapy session of everybody really kind of blowing off some steam.
Yeah. What did they say to you? Some of the other things people told you?
I'd say that the number one comment is hospitality. People, you know, they might be upset with how much food costs now with inflation, but people are okay with spending if they feel as though they're going to get a guaranteed experience. Mm. And that's a very hard thing to do because at any given night across five of our restaurants, we could be serving up to 1,000 people a night.
Well, they complained that at restaurants in general, and this is across the country, the drinks might be too expensive. There's no bread,
right.
Somebody said.
Yeah, exactly. There's no free bread. It's like, well, I wish I could afford to do free bread.
But it is true that people want to spend their money going out to dinner. These are the stats that I'm reading in Nation's Restaurant News. You're nodding, which is the industry publication. Consumers are switching their food spending to away-from-home solutions. A huge percentage of their budget they are happy to spend in restaurants. So there's this disconnect.
You know, I think that people forget that we kind of all collectively went through a like reshaping of our own lives. Yes, restaurants are back open again. And the economy, by all accounts of economists, is doing well. But people miss the before times. And sometimes people come to a restaurant that they used to come to all the time because they want to remember what those before times were like. You know, we're not having a chance to have conversations around a table. And that's what independent restaurants do well. And I think that that's what we want to try to figure out, how to meet people
right. Where
they are.
And I want to make sure that I note that chains in particular are thriving. A lot of independent sit-down restaurants are not. They can't find staff. There's a staffing shortage. But still, you can't get a seat in many restaurants. So you heard from chefs as well. Tiffany Faison again says we're spending equal amounts of time talking about how to up our social game as we are on our food. You know, and she's a TV star and she's feeling it's not enough. Is that part of the stress?
I'm seeing the food social media game change. You used to be able to have a nice restaurant. You'd post a photo of the food there, and people would look at that and go, oh, I want to go there. But now you have to be a content creator half of the time to be able to get people in the door. But half of the content creators are creating a dish of food that no one will ever eat.
Mm.
You know, maybe they're trying to hawk a cookbook, promote an ingredient that has sponsored them, you know, in this post. And so they make this outlandish food that someone sits there on their couch, working from home, looking at, but they're never going to be able to get it. So then they go to the restaurants where we are, where we're just trying to make the food that we know how to make, and it doesn't meet the expectations of digital copy.
So the chef owners who are feeling like they have to spin plates, not just serve them, is this just part of the romance of being a restaurateur wearing off?
Well, I mean, I always do a scared straight program with people when they want to get into this industry because it is one of the hardest ones. For me, what I'm trying to figure out is how do we get our staff and our guests to have conversations about this and meet in the middle? You know, chains are filling in the gaps because they can pay the rents. They can spend millions of dollars on training and marketing that independent restaurants just cannot do. And I can't ship you my food through the mail. You know?
Well, that brings us to something else, because the research is also showing that, yes, all these dollars are going to the restaurant business, but a lot of it is for takeout. And that has meant that you have to join with somebody who's going to help you do your takeout part. Suddenly, you're being pulled into a whole technology thing. One of the complaints from someone was, I don't want to use my phone to see a menu or use a QR code.
Right. Restaurants are a very personal thing. You know, I used to work for a chef who'd say, if you just want food for sustenance, NASA makes a pill for that. You know, that's not what restaurants are. You know, we're not having a chance to have conversations around a table. And that's what independent restaurants do well. We have to take this information. And I don't want to call it data. These are people's feelings. This is their happiness. And I have to now go to different teams of people who work for me. And I have to say, you are doing a great job. but we have to do it a little differently. Maybe that extra five people that we're going to do a night that's going to help us pay our rent is not worth doing to make sure that there's always going to be an open table for somebody. Because if they walk up and they go, is there a seat for me? And you can say, yes, there is. That has already given somebody the excitement of what it's like to be at your place.
That is fascinating. So we have come full circle to where we were at the beginning, which is you can't get a seat. You're saying maybe that's something you have to think about. Open up a seat.
Yeah, and I can't fault any restaurant for charging fees for anything that they need to do to be able to keep their lights on. But I know that there's fee fatigue out there. You have to be kind about it. And you have to be understanding when they don't want to pay the fee, because that fee doesn't necessarily need to be at the sacrifice of someone's enjoyment. You know, you never understand what someone's going through. And sometimes they're at our table to forget about it. And other times they're there to celebrate it.
Yeah. Will Gilson, asking customers, what can restaurants do better? Will, thank you.
Thanks for having me.